إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحدة وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء، واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والأرحام، إن الله كان عليكم رقيبا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. وبعد، The topic of this khutbah was supposed to be about life in al-barzakh, but inshallah I think there is a more relevant thing to talk about, and life in al-barzakh we will have chance probably to talk about it some other times or read about it, since we have literature available about this subject. Something more relevant has to do with the situation of the Muslims in our time, and what we keep hearing in the news about what is afflicting the Muslims in different places of the world, and how to deal with such afflictions. Before getting into this too, I will give an example, a parable, to make the picture closer to our understanding. And the example is that of a tree. Let us think of the Muslim Ummah as a tree, as being a tree. And as you know, the tree has roots that go down into the ground, go deep into the ground. It has stem, it has leaves, branches, and so on. So let us think of the Muslim Ummah as being a tree like that. Now a tree is sometimes healthy, and some other times, or some trees are in bad health, they are sick. And sometimes the sickness gets to a point where they would die. We know trees that die, right? So, we have seen for Umam, for nations, that some of them die and disappear. For the Muslim Ummah, it is not a dead Ummah. And it will never die. This is the promise of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, who said, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق منصورة لا يضرهم من خالفهم ولا من خذلهم حتى يقاتل آخرهم الدجال. Which means there will always be a group of my Ummah steady upon the truth and not being harmed by those who disagree with them or disobey them until the hour, the last hour, or until the last of them will fight against Ad-Dajjal, the imposter who claimed or will claim that he is the Masih alayhi salam and that he is a god and so on. So it is a promise that the Ummah will always be alive, but the Ummah can be at times sick. And we know that the Muslim Ummah is sick, is suffering. it is by no means the same as it was at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, or Khulafa al-Rashidin, or the Khulafa who came after them, or even some of the times when it was considered to be in decline compared to the first times. Nowadays probably it's even more sick. So the Ummah, the Muslim Ummah, is like a sick tree. And without having to be specialized in botany or in gardening to know how to deal with a sick tree, with common sense we can know a few things that are supposed to be done for it. If there's a sick tree, then we try to look for the source of its sickness. What is causing the disease? Where is the disease attacking the most? And if it is attacking the roots, then that is where we need to work, in the roots. Fix the roots, put medicine or whatever treatment is needed on the roots to protect the tree so that the disease will stop and from harming the rest of the tree. If the sickness is a minor thing that is affecting the branches or the leaves, then that is all what is needed to be done to treat that minor problem in the branches or the leaves. But it would be insane, incorrect, when the disease is in the roots, to deal with the leaves and to try to correct the leaves and hope that that would solve and resolve the problem that is in the roots. Now the question is, where is the disease that is afflicting our ummah? Where does it attack? Does it attack the roots, or does it attack the outer body and the leaves? Let us see, look at some of the texts of the Sunnah. You probably all know the hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam foretold that in the future times the nations will gather against the Muslims like hungry banqueters gather over their food. تَتَدَاعَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْأُمَمُ كَمَا تَتَدَاعَ الْأَكَلَةُ عَلَىٰ أَوْ إِلَىٰ قَصَعَتِهَا قَالُوا أَوَ مِنْ قِلَّةٍ نَحْنُ يَوْمَئِذٍ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ قَالَ لَا بَلْ أَنْتُمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ كَثِيرٌ وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ. He was asked, will we be very few at that time so that the nations will gather against us like that? He said, no, you will be numerous, but you will be unimportant, worthless, like the scum that floats on the surface of water, of a flood. وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ مَخَافَتَكُمْ وَلَيَنْزِعَنَّ مَخَافَتَكُمْ مِنْ قُلُوبِ عَدُوِّكُمْ وَلَيَقْذِفَنَّ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ الْوَهَنَ. And Allah will remove the fear from you, fearing you from the hearts of your enemies. And he will throw feebleness into your hearts. قالوا وما الوهن يا رسول الله قال حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. They asked him, what is this feebleness? What is this disease that will cause these other problems, these other symptoms? He said, حب الدنيا وكراهية الموت. Loving the worldly life and hating to death. In this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ tells us of a major problem that will affect or attack the roots of the ummah so that you will see its symptoms on its leaves and its branches. In another hadith, in which Rasulullah ﷺ describes the situation of weakness that this ummah will be in the future times, he said, إِذَا تَبَايَعْتُمْ بِالْعِينَ وَأَخَذْتُمْ أَذْنَابَ الْبَقَرِ وَرَضِيتُمْ بِالزَّرَعِ وتركتم الجهاد في سبيل الله سلط الله عليكم ذلا لا ينزعه عنكم حتى ترجعوا إلى دينكم. إذا تبايعتم بالعينة when you deal with transactions that involve riba, involve cheating and deceiving and so on, وأخذتم أذناب البقر and you hold to the tails of your cows, which means the cows become your leaders instead of you be their leaders, which means your properties and your farming and your worldly possessions lead you instead of you leading them. ورضيتم بالزرع and you become pleased with your vegetation, with your plantation. That's all what you care about, what you have in this world. That is what pleases your eye instead of looking further to what is more important in the next life. وَتَرَكْتُمُ الْجِهَادَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ and you leave off jihad, striving for the cause of Allah. All of these are the symptoms. All of these are the results of the disease. What is the cause of the disease? لَا يَنْزِعُهُ عَنْكُمْ Allah that problem, we have to go back to our deen. It's a major problem. Attack the roots of the ummah. It is not a minor thing that deals with the leaves and the branches. And therefore, for someone to think, when looking at the situation of a sick tree, that we know that its problem is in the roots, For one to think that if he brings, like he sees, withering leaves turning yellowish and so on and curling a little bit, so he brings some coloring paint, green paint, and he paints the leaves green, he thinks that by doing that he solved the problem of the tree. This is not going to solve it. The tree may appear, or some of the leaves may appear to be green for a little bit, but that will not stop the tree from dying. So to deal with the symptoms and try to solve the problem of the symptoms alone without going deep into the roots and solving the problem in the roots will not do much benefit. We have to work first and foremost on the roots, and then we may deal with the symptoms or with the apparent problems to some degree. Someone to crowd, just try to treat the leaves or try to spray the outside of the tree with pesticide to kill some of the insects that are attacking the outside of the tree when the problem is still there in the roots, this will solve the problem momentarily or temporarily. Or else, let's say that there is a neighbor who comes at night, or maybe by day, if he has more courage, and he is the one who puts some poison and some things that are trying to attack and kill the tree. Let's assume that there is such a scenario. A neighbor comes and tries to attack and kill the tree. So to go and get together four or five people and stand in front of his house and get signatures and make a demonstration and object, show your objection and tell him that we are displeased with whoever is attacking this tree and who is trying to kill it, and we are against him, and we would like you to do something to stop it, that will not solve the problem either. Actually, that neighbor who is the one who is killing the tree, will be happy when he sees that. He will realize that his plans are working and that he is causing distress and dismay to you. So that will give him a feel of accomplishment. And it will make your position weaker in front of him, showing him that you need him, you are dependent on him, and he is the one in whose hand is the solution, and he will not help with the solution anyways. All what he will care about is do more and more to kill the tree. So, what is the conclusion of all of this example? It is that we need to deal with the roots. We need to solve the problem that is in the roots. If the roots are strong, if the roots are very deep and firmly established, and they have no diseases attacking them, they are very well protected, then it doesn't matter. Even if you cut the tree, if you cut branches from the tree, it will grow new branches, as you know. If the roots are healthy, new branches will come out. So what is most important, what is the first priority before even thinking about what to do with the branches, is to make sure that we are doing what we are supposed to do for the roots. And what are we supposed to do for the roots? We have to go back to our deen. حَتَّى تَرْجِعُوا إِلَى دِينِكُمْ Until you return to your deen. As Rasulullah ﷺ said. So the solution, the treatment is by returning to our deen. And by returning, it means that the large, influential numbers of Muslims go back to their deen and they implement Islam in themselves and their societies. And this we do not see in our time. Rather, we see that Muslims in general are very far away from their deen. We see that the Muslims are very ignorant about their deen and they are not willing to learn so that they can go back to their deen. We see that they are happy about their numbers. We Muslims are happy about our numbers as if this is all what counts. When we know that the numbers do not help. As you heard from the first hadith, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Bal antum yawma'idhin kathir." Rather, on that day you will be large in numbers. وَلَكِنَّكُمْ غُثَاءٌ But you will be worthless. كَغُثَاءِ السَّيْلِ Like the scum on the surface of a flood. So numbers are not what is important. What is important is the quality of these numbers. When the Prophet ﷺ fought his most important battle, the most important battle in the history of Islam, how many were with him? What was the number of the Sahaba who fought in the Battle of Badr? Were they 100,000? 200? 50,000? 10,000? They were not even 1,000. They were 300 some men. That's the whole number of Muslims who fought the most important battle in the history of Islam. And Allah Azza wa Jal mentioned this battle as a great victory that he favored the Muslims with. He mentions it in the Quran in a couple or more of places. For the people who were steadfast with Dawood alayhi salam, as with Talut, and who conquered of the children of Israel, and who conquered what is the Holy Land at that time and still is, and they were permitted by Allah Azza wa Jal to get into it, they were, according to most of the scholars, the same number as the number of Muslims who entered, who won the Battle of Badr. So they were only 300 some, even though the Jews were in huge numbers, hundreds of thousands probably. But most of them failed the test. And they could not stop themselves from drinking the water, which was made as a test for them. As you probably, some of you have read the story in Surah Al-Baqarah. So, only few passed the test and were allowed to participate in the fighting against their enemy. They were, according to many reports, only 300 some men. Those are the people who conquered and entered into Palestine. So it is not the number that matters. It is the quality. It is the quality of the numbers, or the number that have equality, the numbers that are firm on the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As those people said, قَالُوا رَبَّنَا أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَهَزَّمُوهُمْ بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. They said, our Lord, send down, pour down over us patience or firmness. أَفْرِغْ عَلَيْنَا صَبْرًا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا and keep our feet firm. وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ and give us victory over the disbelieving people. أَقُولُ هَذَا وَأَسْتَغْفِرُ اللَّهَ. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له إله الأولين والآخرين وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, so what I'm saying is that we care or we are happy about our numbers. When Allah Azza wa Jal, never, you find that he never praised numbers. He never praised numbers in his book. The numbers of people or their possessions, the greatness of their possession. Rather, he criticized the numbers and condemned them in some places. Like, وَيَوْمَ حُنَيْنٍ إِذْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ كَثْرَتُكُمْ فَلَمْ تُغْنِ عَنْكُمْ شَيْئًا. On the day of Hunayn, when you were pleased with your large numbers, but that did not help you anything. It did not protect you. The Muslims were defeated because they were happy about their numbers on the day of Hunayn. Until Allah Azza wa Jal sent down help and firmness over the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the few who were around him. Otherwise, the army was totally defeated. And there are many other examples. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَمَا أَكْثَرُ النَّاسِ وَلَا حَرَصَ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Not most people are believers, even if you are very keen that that be the case. Most of them are not believers. So it's not the number that matters, it is the belief, the iman, even if it is for a small group of people, because Allah Azza wa Jal will support them with numbers, with soldiers from Him. And as we know, and this is a promise, true promise from Allah Azza wa Jal, that He will give victory to the believers, the true believers, even if they are small in numbers. We know that this happened in the battle of Badr and in many other battles that the believers fought in, so to such an extent that the believers were able to see the angels. Some of them saw some of the angels with their own eyes. And even the disbelievers sometimes saw some of the angels, and they were wondering, how come the numbers of the Muslims have increased so much? Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Quran, you know, He tells us once and again about the greatness and the power, His power and greatness, and the power of His soldiers. So when He wants to protect something or to attack and destroy a people, it doesn't take Him much. It's not hard for Him. So we should not care about the material power of the enemies. And look, Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in Surah Al-Fil about a great army that was coming to attack Mecca. And Mecca did not have anybody to support it, to protect it at that time. They were coming to destroy and demolish Al-Kaaba. And there was no one to stand in their face, no human being to stand in their face. They had the greatest power that could be imagined in those days. They were coming on elephants. They were riding on elephants. And they had probably huge numbers of fighters. But Allah Azza wa Jalla destroyed them, and with what? With little stones. The huge animals and their riders were destroyed with little stones. So we really have to believe in this. Allah Azza wa Jalla, when He tells us this, it's not for entertainment. It is to realize that there's a great lesson in this. أَلَمْ تَرَ كَيْفَ فَعَلَ رَبُّكَ بِأَصْحَابِ الْفِيلِ أَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ كَيْدَهُمْ فِي تَضْلِيلٍ. Their plotting and their planning, all of it, went to the wind, was lost in the wind. وَأَرْسَلْ عَلَيْهِمْ طَيْرًا أَبَابِيلَ تَرْمِيهِمْ بِحِجَارَةٍ مِّن سِجِّيلٍ. They cast or threw on them stones from hell. So He made them like destroyed field of vegetation, of plants, which is, you look at it and you find as if it has been attacked by large cattle that ate up everything and did not leave anything to be seen except the remains. فَجَعَلَهُمْ كَعَصْفٍ مَأْكُولٍ. So we have to believe in this power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and instead of putting our faith in the material powers, and especially the powers of our enemies, let us put our faith in the one who created the material powers. So we need to work on our iman, we need to fix the roots, the sick roots that are in our ummah, by working hard on teaching ourselves, our families, our communities, the correct Islam that is based on the Book of Allah and the Sunnah of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that is the first step for protecting ourselves. So when we see a Muslim killed in Palestine, or even harmed the least bit in Palestine, or in Chechnya, or in Kashmir, or in any other place, what is the first step to protect this Muslim? Or the prerequisite even for protecting this Muslim is by working on my heart, by implementing the true Islam in myself. But when I watch the news and say la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah, maybe even shed a few tears and maybe spend some money as charity for the Muslims in Palestine, maybe send a few dollars, 100, 200, 500, whatever. And then the next thing I do is go back to my normal life and live a life far away from Islam, spending most of my time in disobedience to Allah, forgetting about Allah, not mentioning Allah except very little. لا يذكرون الله إلا قليلا. Allah Azza wa Jalla describes the munafiqeen like that. They do not remember Allah but very little. We are like this now. We work 8 hours, 10 hours, 12 hours with the disbelievers. And in our association with them, we do not even remember to say Subhanallah or Alhamdulillah or Allahu Akbar. So Allah Azza wa Jalla is far from our minds, except it becomes like the Christians do. Except on Friday, like they do it on Sunday, we do it on Friday. That is not how a Muslim is supposed to be. That is not how a healthy Muslim is supposed to be. And that is not how I help my brothers in Palestine. The way to help my brothers in Palestine is by, as I said, by working on the roots which come into my heart and your heart and his heart, everybody's heart. So we have to fix our hearts. We have to correct our iman, our trust in Allah Azza wa Jal, our certitude in what He tells us, and our obedience to Him, practicing Islam according to His teachings. When I do this, and you do this, and He does this, then our ummah becomes strong and fortified, so that nobody can approach it, because Muslims become strong and they care, they are concerned about Islam, not only when a problem comes up, they're always concerned and alert. So we have to go back to our deen. We have to learn what is our deen in the first place. Because to many Muslims, they don't even know what is Islam. What is following the Quran and the Sunnah? And we see this every day, that you do something according to the Sunnah, and someone will come and say, why do you do things different from other people? Why are you so different? Why are you making up a new deen? That's what we hear from some people. Why are you making up a new deen? Everybody does it differently all over the Muslim world. If the people all over the Muslim world were all correct in what they are doing, the Muslim world would be the most powerful nation in the history. There could never be a more powerful nation, because it has, as in terms of population, it is 1/4 of the population of the world, roughly. If they are all correct, actually if only 5% of them are correct, and according to the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, Islam will be a most powerful superpower that nobody can come close to it. But that is the problem, that the majority of the ummah are away from the teachings of Islam. So how can we take them as example? How can we repeat what the disbelievers said when they responded to their messengers? What do they say? They say, قَالُوا إِنَّا وَجَدْنَا أَبَاءَنَا عَلَىٰ أُمَّةٍ وَإِنَّا عَلَىٰ أَثَارِهِمْ مُقْتَدُونَ. We found our parents doing something, indeed. We found our parents doing something, and we will certainly follow their footsteps. This is not an excuse, this is not a justification for anything. If our parents are living in a certain way, if our countrymen, if the majority of the Muslims are doing things, that's not a justification. Rather, if the majority of the Muslims are doing something in this time, because they are not the Sahaba, they are not the Tabi'in, they are not the Ulama of Islam, so if the majority of them are doing something, and they agree on doing a certain thing, that should make us very critical about what they are doing. And check into it and see, does it have a basis in the Book of Allah? Does it have a basis in the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ? If it is, then we accept it. If it does not, then we reject it and search for the truth and implement it. So, nobody can say that, alhamdulillah, there are so many Muslims, they are following Islam, they are praying, they say la ilaha illallah, therefore we should be victorious. That is not a correct reasoning. Because the majority of those Muslims are not following Islam according to the teachings that were brought by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And our obligation is to educate ourselves and educate them. We come first, of course. We are most required to educate ourselves, our families, but then the rest of the Muslim ummah. So if we do our part, and every one of us does his part, then you will see that inshallah the ummah will be powerful and strong. And that way we will be dealing with the treatment of the roots. The problems that are in the roots will be fixed. And as I said, if the roots become good, then nothing will harm the branches and the leaves of the tree. I'm not saying, again, as emphasis, I'm not saying don't do anything for the branches and the leaves. Do whatever it takes. But this is just a small, temporary, passing treatment. That's not the basic and most important treatment that should deal with the foundation. So for the leaves, for our brothers, wherever they are, and as I said, in Chechnya, Palestine, or any other place in the world, whatever help we can do for them, whatever we can do, we surely can do, we are required to do. And if we do not do it, materially that is, if we do not do it, then it is to Allah Azza wa Jal to punish us or forgive us. But we would be committing a sin if we can help a brother in need and we do not help him. So it's our obligation on us to help our brothers over there. Materially, with money, with whatever other means of help that is according to the Shara and that we know for sure that it will help them. But as I said, this is dealing with the symptoms. As for treating the bases and the foundation, this is the most important thing And this is what we neglect the most. So we have to go back to our deen and learn our deen and apply it, implement it, and help our brothers and the rest of the Muslim Ummah to do that. That way, inshallah, we will be helping in the cure and in the return of the power of this Ummah. هذا وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.